Police, open the door!
Foxbox detectives create immersive cold case files that are delivered right to your door. Join the thousands worldwide that have already taken on the challenge to solve a realistic murder case. The truth to these crimes are hidden in a web of deceit. Trust no one. Your case file is packed with police documents, cryptic codes, and access to our online evidence database. So, how does it work?
Inspect the evidence. Eliminate your suspects. Convict a killer.
It takes a talented investigator to solve a murder case from Foxbox Detectives. Have you got what it takes? Then grab your cold case file now and begin your investigation. Head to foxboxdetectives.co.uk.
Hey, Paranormies, I'm Brittany.
And I'm Alexa.
And we're the hosts of They Don't Stay Dead.
We're a paranormal podcast from Australia, and we've made it our mission to share with you all the real-life ghost stories and haunted locations from our home, as well as encounters with supernatural beings and reports of unknown mysteries.
From haunted asylums and ghost ships to big cat cryptids and alien encounters, there's something for everyone. We release new episodes every Thursday, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to check out our Instagram at They Don't Stay Dead for weekly updates. We get a little bit spooky and a lot silly. So join us for some laughs and a tale of the unknown.
Stay spooky, paranormies.
Hello, I'm Marty.
And I'm Murphy.
And this is Mum's Mysteries and Murder. And we've turned two.
We have. It's been 2 years that we've been doing this. That's mental.
I know. If you've been listening for 2 years, thank you so much. That is an incredible undertaking.
It is. Isn't it? Well done.
Can you believe we got to two? I can't believe we've done 2 full years.
No. Well, episodes. It feels like, it does feel like quite a long time, but it's just also quite good fun. So.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
We've done a lot of episodes. Someone was asking me the other day how many episodes, and I said, oh, we've maybe done about 12 or 13. And then I realised it was our two-year anniversary, and I was like, oh, we've done 24.
Oh, that's not bad.
I can't even remember 24 episodes. Can you?
Not a lot of them.
It's going to be a bit clinky because we have alcohol, so we're just warning you in advance.
Yeah, we're having a celebration.
A dark episode as well.
Our two-year birthday of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting. It's been fun.
It is exciting. Thank you so much for listening, all the people that have been listening all that time. And we have got really good supporters, actually, haven't we? We have had lots of reviews. Yeah.
Lots of people talk about us. And nice when you get to meet people that have, like, been listening to you.
Yeah, you've even had school mums coming up, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Miranda from school. Came and said that she listens to the podcast. I was like, that's amazing. Can't believe anyone listens.
That is amazing. I'm always shocked people find us.
Yeah, but if you put in Mum's Mysteries and Murders, we're going to be top, I think.
But do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many true crime podcasts around.
Yeah,
people could listen to so many other podcasts. We actually met someone who is a massive, what would you call them? Fan, not massive fan, massive listener and supporter, actually, to the podcast, Wayne from Erie, Edinburgh.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Wayne.
Yeah.
He met up with us and John from North Edinburgh Nightmares and Kerry, we should say. We did a tour. You might have seen it on Instagram.
Yes, it was fantastic. And oh my goodness, you used to tell everyone what happened.
Oh, with the slowing down.
Yes.
I haven't told you about this other part either. So
what?
John is amazing, and we do often share his stuff on Instagram. We always share his stuff. I've been to a couple of his tours now. He's a fantastic storyteller. If you are coming to Edinburgh or you live in Scotland, you need to look up North Edinburgh Nightmares because his stories are amazing. He does walking really historical good. Ghostly tours around Edinburgh, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
And he's so good at storytelling, isn't he? Like he's when I jumped, great. Oh my God.
He's a great
He's really good at making people jump, but not in a he doesn't do ghost tours where there's people dressed up and they come out and jump.
No.
Because I wouldn't do that.
No.
But it's the like it's the way about, he tells the story.
Also, yeah, like the sort of background and like the history and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those really good people that's good at telling stories.
Basically. Yeah. So we did a tour through the new town of Edinburgh. So Edinburgh's two parts. There's the old town and the new town. And we did a tour and I took some video footage, as you do. And then I got home and Effie and I had gone for drinks with a few people. We went with Wayne. Again, Wayne, thank you so much for all the creepy stories. We're going to get you on
you
the podcast.
Watch his YouTube videos.
That was
they
an
so
amazing
good.
Story that he told. We might have to get him to do that for a Halloween special.
That would be really good.
Even though we know it, I want to hear it again. So, yes, we went for drinks with Wayne and a few other people, and then we got home quite late and I was looking through my video footage and what actually happened, which if you do follow us on Instagram, you'll have seen it on stories, it slowed down. The video footage just started slowing down. So John was telling a story about
creepy.
A ghost, wasn't he? Or like, what was the story? It was to do with the skull
or
something?
Yeah, it was to do with, this skull that's kept in a pub in Edinburgh and it's cursed.
Oh, was it the Starbar story?
Was it not that one?
I didn't think it was, but I think it must have been because he mentioned the skull to me as well when I saw the footage.
I think it was.
Oh, and we weren't even near the Starbar.
No.
So he was telling a story and everything was fine. And then when I got home, I didn't actually notice anything because I'd taken loads of video. I got home and then just after he'd said about someone hanging themselves, the video started slowing down and then sort of went really, really slow motion for the rest of the video.
Unbelievably creepy.
What's weird is that now the whole thing is slow. So now I don't even have that start bit.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I was sitting in the dark by myself in the lounge room watching it. Well, I was watching Celebrity Gogglebox, which wasn't that creepy, to be fair. But it was like 10 to 12, I think, when I messaged you. And I sent it to Effie and said, have a look at this. This is so weird.
It just freaked me out completely.
And did you think it was a joke? Because you messaged me back.
Yeah, I was
joking?
Like, have you done that deliberately?
Mm-hmm.
Because when it slows down, it basically makes the audio go.
Oh, I hate that.
Really, I'm creepy. And it was just like, oh my, are you
so
winding me up,
Marty?
Happens.
No, I'm still not winding you up. And Effie actually messaged me back and said, I'm going to delete this off my phone.
I deleted it.
In case, what was it?
In case somebody cursed it. It was the ghost of someone that somehow got through my phone.
I mean, it was on my phone, so if anything. So I sent it to John and said, have a look at this. This is super weird. And he actually couldn't believe that that had happened as well. And he said, whenever Kerry comes and does a tour with him, something happens. Something weird happens. So I do have a feeling next time he tells that story, I think we're going to be in it with our video.
Yeah, because what are the chances? Has that happened on your phone before?
It's never happened on my phone
before. That is really weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is weird.
It's so creepy. You have to have a look on the Instagram thing. What do you call them? Reels.
On stories.
Stories.
It's super weird.
Really creepy.
Yeah. Maybe that's just the power of his ghost stories.
Yeah.
So, yes, go and check out John. If that hasn't put you off, go and check out North Edinburgh Nightmares and go and check out Eerie Edinburgh, who are also on Instagram. They have a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And that Wayne actually talks about, like, different stories that you probably haven't heard.
Yeah.
Which is what I really liked.
It's such a good channel. I love all the footage and stuff he, collects for it and his voice is just great.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
They're both great. And then Kerry too as well, because I think it was her first, did she say it was her first tour? And she did amazingly well. So.
Ah.
Of the new town.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, it was really good.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Really,
and
it.
We love a ghost tour. As much as I'm scared of all that stuff, I love a tour.
Yeah, you're not scared now because you've got a little ghost friend on your phone.
No, don't say things like that. Moving right along, you might have noticed at the beginning of the episode that we have a new sponsor.
Which is amazing.
It's Foxbox Detectives. Try and say that when you've had a few martinis.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and if you fancy being a Foxbox Detective, we have a 10% discount for all the Mum's Mysteries and Murder listeners using the code CRIME10, which we will put in the show notes. I love the idea behind this because we're pretty much all armchair detectives now. So it's sort of the perfect gift for like a true crime obsessed friend.
It just looks brilliant. It's all the kind of like police like packaging and stuff. It just looks really cool.
It looks like it really looks authentic,
like
I think.
Crime scene.
And they create real cases for you to solve with everything you need. So it's sort of like, I feel like it's a bit like a board games night, but darker and more fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
All the board games. I mean, my husband does board games night and I'm always like geeky night, whatever. So just, it's more fun than that.
I love a board game.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, what's your favourite board game?
Cluedo, obviously.
Of course it is. Do you still have it?
It's got to be. Yeah, we've got Cluedo in the house, yeah. I remember doing like there used to be like murder mystery like boxes and you got sort of dressed up and stuff, but that wasn't, you don't see those so much. So I guess it's kind of similar to that. So we should do that sometime.
We should do that. Well, we're going to give it a go. We're going to give Foxbox Detectives a go.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance yet and we'll give you our verdict on it. Our literal verdict, whether we solved the case or not. Imagine if we both didn't. That would be shit.
I'm not going to.
That would be embarrassing. You could. You never know. You could.
You're always pretty good at knowing like the endings of stuff.
I don't know if I am. I think just because I watch a lot of things.
Yeah. You're like, they did it. And I'm like, what?
That's because I'm suspicious of everyone all the time. If someone blinks wrong, I'm like, he's blinking too much. He's obviously got something to do with it.
Uh-huh. Or this sort of innocent one, you know, when they think.
Yeah, when they're too innocent.
Yeah.
So we're recording this in the middle of summer where Edinburgh Fringe is about to start, middle of school holidays.
Mm-hmm. School holidays.
I mean, raining. It's not rained as much this week.
No, it's not been quite so bad. But.
And when we went away to the coast, it only rained once, so we were really lucky.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, it's hardly Europe, is it?
It's not roasting heat waves. No, I'm currently in a big jumper.
It's not great, but it's Scotland. We're supposed to get a heatwave in August, which would be amazing for Edinburgh Fringe because it always rains in Edinburgh Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I feel like the 1st of August, the rain starts when the tourists get here.
Yeah, well, that'd be quite, how nice would that be if it was sunny?
I would love that.
That would be great. It's going to sun at some point.
I mean, when it's school holidays and you've got kids, you really need sun so you can send them out to the, I haven't told you this story. So the other day we went outside. So I was researching this episode, which we are going to get onto at some point very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a dark, lot of research sort of episode. It's probably the most research I've done for an episode. And it was Sunday afternoon. I was like, I just need to get out of the house. I need to go. Let's just go for a walk somewhere.
Yeah.
So we went outside and I said to my husband, so we live in sort of like a little estate and we know lots of the kids in the estate and there's always kids outside playing and it's a really lovely place to live. And there were two girls there, two teenage girls sort of hanging around, sort of down the end near our flats. And I said to Dan, oh, I've not seen those teenagers before, sounding like old people. And I realised who it was. It was two kids from my little boy's class, two girls who were obviously just hanging around waiting for him to come out of the flat.
Oh, my goodness. Teenage stalkers already.
11.
That's awful.
I mean, it's not awful.
Did you get a brush and brush them away?
Oh, my God.
Beat them away?
No, because I know them and they're really nice little girls and they saw me.
Yeah.
And they come up and talk to me and I'd sort of said where he had gone and they ended up going to meet him, which is interesting. He'd gone off with a friend.
Did they get an autograph from
him? I mean, I feel like.
Because he is slightly like Harry Styles, isn't he? Do you remember we used to say that?
Yeah.
He's a bit like Harry Styles.
He's a bit.
Yeah.
So that's all started. Teenagerdom has started. It starts really early for kids now, doesn't it?
Yeah, not for my kids.
Is it not?
No, they're still pretty.
Yours was talking about the fluff hairstyle, though, the other day.
That's true, yeah, fluffy hair.
I'd not heard about that. If you've not heard of what fluffy hair is, it's not like just fluffy hair, it's an actual style.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a look. It's very interesting. It's
quite cute. I like it.
It reminds me of the 80s sort of hair a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like sort of curly, fluffy, obviously, hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. So it's all starting. All the girls are starting. I'll be starting there. You're not going out with her. Her stomach's out.
Yeah. Getting the brush out. I
need that. Getting the brush out. You're so harsh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should also give a little shout out to the pod advert that you will have heard at the top of the episode. It's called They Don't Stay Dead, and it is a podcast. I feel like – so Alexa and Britt contacted us, and I feel like they are the Australian version of our podcast.
Yeah.
Even though I'm Australian, but they cover like haunting mystery stories from all around Australia. But they also give like creepy TV and film recommendations at the end of each episode, which I love because they sort of do what we do.
That's
backwards.
A great idea. Yeah.
And they have the same sort of vibe as us. When I listened to their podcast, I was like, this is like listening to us.
Yeah.
Which might put some people off. But.
Well, if you're listening to us, then.
Yeah, true.
Probably like them.
Yeah. If you're into really haunty stuff and you want to find out about more Australian stuff, they're a brilliant podcast.
Stories.
I loved listening to them. Yeah. They actually told me the story about the crawling ghost.
No.
That was their podcast. And they actually put a warning on the beginning of that episode and said this is a particularly scary episode. So they're not usually that scary.
Right, okay.
But that really freaked me out.
Yeah.
And they've just done an episode on the Geelong Jail, which is the town I grew up in.
Oh.
Yeah. Amazing. It was a great episode as well.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely give them a listen then.
Yeah, they're brilliant. So that is their episode at the start of the – that is their episode.
Fab.
That is their
– advert.
Advert at the beginning of the episode. We're actually drinking cocktails at the minute, and so this might be a very long episode because I'm already tripping over my words and I haven't even started. So speaking of which, yes, so this is a really big episode. It's an episode I've put off doing for quite a while because it's quite gruesome. We're not going to go into massive amounts of details. I know like on our podcast we tend to skim over the details and just give like a brief idea of what actually happened to the victim rather than going through the whole thing, because we really just don't think people need to know. If you want to know more, you can always Google it. This is the first serial killer we've covered. Did you realize that?
Is it?
We've never done a serial killer.
No, yeah. I didn't know that.
We did talk about Big Dez on the Culture Swally podcast crossover.
Yeah, we haven't actually covered. Yeah.
But this is the first. I was really shocked when I realized that.
Is it?
Yeah,
really?
It's the first serial killer.
Okay.
Oh,
what a one to start with.
I know. So you probably know who we're going to do now.
It should be in the title as well.
Oh, of course it will be in the title. You'll have seen it. Oh, my God. Okay. So we're doing Ivan Milat, the backpacker murderer.
He's just the most horrendous person.
He's horrific. He's Australia's most famous serial killer. So I was surprised how many people don't know who Ivan Milat is.
Really?
Was there much coverage over here? Because I feel like everyone that's Australian, they know everything about.
Well, when was it? Was it the 1980s?
It was the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm.
You would have been quite young, though.
Yeah, I don't know about the time, but yeah, definitely. If you're interested in true crime, of course you're going to know about Ivan Milat. Yeah.
I just feel like he's a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really shocked at the amount of people that don't know.
Well, it's
about
also
him.
Like the. Like films and stuff that are sort of inspired by him as well. He's just the most horrendous.
There's
like,
quite a lot of films inspired. Wolf Creek is probably the most. I actually went to see Wolf Creek with my husband on one of our first dates, but we went to the movies a lot. We're both really into movies. And I've only walked out of two movies ever.
I couldn't deal with Wolf Creek.
One was Trainspotting because I had the flu and it was just making me feel sick. And I was like, I can't watch any more of this.
Okay.
And I wasn't in the right mood. And this was the second one. And it was because not to, you know, give too much away, it is a horrendous movie, first of all. So if you're really into horror and gore, this is the movie for you. It's quite old, though. It's really old. So probably if you were going to see it, you would have seen it. But he just keeps catching them, you know, like they keep getting away and he kept catching them. And I was like, I turned to him and said, I can't handle any more of this.
This is too much.
You can watch the end, because things like that don't really affect him. Mm-hmm. You can watch the end. I'm going to go and sit in Borders and I'll see you there after it. Do you know what Borders is? The
Borders Books.
Yeah. Did they have Borders over here?
Yeah.
So I went and sat in Borders for the last hour and got a coffee.
I can't deal with films like that.
I can't handle gore.
When it's gore. Yeah. There's no need for it.
So Wolf Creek's not just based on Ivan Milat. It's actually based on a few different things that happened in Australia. So it's sort of a mix up. And what people found really interesting at the time was that the guy that played Ivan Milat was actually a Play School presenter, which is a children's TV show.
No way.
He was a Play School presenter. And I think he'd done a little bit of acting, but not anything this. And then he did this and everyone was like,
And then he was amazing in it. Play School presenting.
I think he finished years before.
Could you imagine if all fans from Play School were like, can we go and see this film? Wolf Creek sounds quite nice.
I mean, it was 18+ as well.
Well, it need to be. Yeah. I haven't seen it because I just couldn't deal with it.
Harrowing. Mm-hmm. I could not watch it. And obviously the whole thing with Ivan Milat is quite harrowing. So we might actually do two parts for this because it's quite a long episode. There's quite a lot to cover before and after.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened. So, yeah. As mentioned, this one is a little bit more detailed. I know a lot of people listen to our podcast that don't listen to many other true crime podcasts and they find it's like, and we've been told it's sort of like an easy listen into true crime, like an introduction. This one is a bit more heavy going than the last episodes that you might have listened to. So you might not want to listen. That's okay if you want to skip to the next one. It's an amazing story. So we do urge you to listen, though.
But we don't want to be distressing.
But, there is a few details that we are going to talk about, but we're going to go into as little detail as we need to, because I just don't think we need to go into the full detail. Okay, so let's get started with part one. Sources are Sydney Morning Herald, loads of 60 Minute episodes. I know you love 60 Minutes. You're a massive fan of 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes.
The Guardian, MamaMia.com.au, and the Monsters Who Murder podcast.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So we'll talk about that probably in part two a little bit more. If you haven't listened to the Monsters Who Murder podcast, absolutely amazing.
Are they back on again?
Yes.
Okay, nice.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's get this one out of the way because it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this quite distressing actually to research. I found some episodes quite hard going, but I found this one particularly difficult because there's so many victims and there's lots of like images of their faces and they're all quite young.
Yeah.
And I just found it quite difficult. So let's go. Australia's most famous serial killer. So let's start with Ivan Milat, first of all. So this really gets me, right? Lots of the research that I did, a lot of people described him as muscular and tanned Australian guy, right?
Okay.
And I think that conjures up images of a handsome surfer guy.
Yeah.
Like a blonde surfer god.
Sorry.
He was not that. She says, pouring a drink. I mean, you're going to need a drink. So if you haven't got a drink, grab a drink. He was not a blonde surfer dude that was muscular. And do you know what I mean? I find that really annoying that that's the way he's described. He did have big arms, but he was often seen in quite shortish shorts, not to the knee, like short shorts. And something called, which if you're Australian, this is just within your cultural language, but it might be offensive, a wife beater. Do you know what a wife beater is?
Yeah.
Do they call them that over here as well?
I don't know. So we had this like character in the 1980s called Rob Sinez, but he was like a glass
Of course.
And he wore a wife beater. I don't know if he were.
His was white though, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So white beaters in Australia are like a navy dark blue.
No.
Yeah.
Are they like sort of knitted as well?
No. So them? They're not like no. the knitted Jimmy Savile yeah, ones. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of references here for our American listeners.
They're just like
don't look up Jimmy Savile unless you've got a strong stomach. That's another episode all in itself. But in it's just like a vest. Yeah, like a blue navy.
Okay.
They used to wear them in the Foster's ads a lot.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So like a wife beater vest and tiny like shorts. You see old men in sitcoms, like, you know, Ramsey Nesbitt and things like that. Yeah. He wasn't particularly short, but he wasn't tall.
Okay.
He was sort of stocky is how you would describe him. He had a bit of like a weather-beaten face, average build. He had a huge dark mustache. So this mustache comes into play a lot that goes all the way down to his chin. So what it was like a do? Really long
what
one.
What was his jaw?
I don't know. I was think he did like lots of outside, lots of outside sort of work.
Okay.
He had dark eyes, dark hair. Lots of people talk about his Merv Hughes style mustache. Should I just show you who Merv Hughes is? Yeah. I'm just going to show you who he is. So do a little Google if you don't know. Merv Hughes was a really famous cricketer in Australia in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
A hell of a mustache, right?
Yeah.
So this is something that Ivan Milat's really well known for. When people describe him, he has a Merv Hughes mustache. There's also another cricketer that someone else mentioned who has a similar mustache.
Yeah.
It's all about the mustaches in Australian cricket in the 80s.
How did they get them so big? I don't know.
I mean, it's quite impressive. Full on, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's when people say he was muscular and tanned, I think that's conjuring up a completely different image like to what he actually looked like.
When you think of an Australian muscular tanned, but you're like young and
You sort of think of a Jason Donovan.
Yeah, but yeah. More muscular. Exactly. Yeah.
He wasn't like that at all.
Okay.
So he was born in 1945 and he had 14 siblings.
Oh, wow.
Yes. He had 10 brothers.
Oh, wow.
Ivan was the fifth child.
Okay.
I'm not going to go hugely into his family life. There's a lot of speculation about his family and their upbringing wasn't great. But you can Google them if you want to find out more about them. There's a lot. There is a lot in the aftermath about the family, but I am going to go into that a bit later on. So his father migrated from Croatia and started out in Australia as what we would call a wharfie. Do you say that term over here?
What's that?
I've not heard that term anywhere else but Australia. So it's basically someone that worked on the wharf unloading and loading ships.
What's a wharf?
Like a pier.
Oh, right.
Wharf isn't used over here.
Yeah, like Canary Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
A wharfie. I wonder if
do Americans call it a wharf? Let us know, Americans or Canadians. What do you? Is it a pier? Is it a wharf? Wharf sounds like a really weird word when you say it more than once. Yeah.
That's such a weird word. But wharfie's never such say like that.
An Australian term.
Right, okay.
Like when I was looking it up, I was like, a wharfie. And then I was like, I haven't heard this for so many years.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, a wharfie.
Okay.
So that's what he did. So it was a difficult job and they didn't get paid a lot of money. It was long hours. It's basically the equivalent of factory work, really. Yeah. But he eventually started a tomato plantation in Sydney.
Okay.
Which I'm not 100% sure that's true because I've seen different things, but I have seen that a few times. And the sons all eventually
worked there.
I think that's right, but not 100%. I'm not feeling 100%, you know.
Yeah.
There's lots of different things around Ivan Milat. There's lots of different information.
Okay. That are contradictory.
But that's the one that I'm not, you know, great about.
Okay.
Anyway, so they lived on a really big property. So, you know, I feel like a property was.
Well, they need to. They had 14
with
kids.
All those kids.
Oh my God.
His dad was really strict with discipline and he was known to be quite violent.
Okay.
So this isn't a great start for a serial killer. If you're playing serial killer bingo, I mean, that's the first one.
Yeah.
So the brothers also became known for being troublemakers and they were well known with the police for theft, burglary. During his teens and 20s, Ivan fell into this and wound up in jail a few times. Okay. So once for armed robbery, that escalated. And in the 70s, he was tried and acquitted unfortunately, on a technicality of a rape of an 18-year-old girl, Margaret Patterson, who had been hitchhiking to Melbourne with a friend.
Oh, God. So how old was he then? He was just a teenager.
He was, I think he was about 25, 26. Right, okay. Yeah.
So that's probably when it started with the hitchhikers.
Yeah, 70s. Oh. So hitchhiking, if you don't know about Ivan Milat, hitchhiking is a massive thing that's going to run through this whole story. So that's not a great start in the 70s. Ivan also bragged to a friend around this time that he had been in jail for stabbing a man and burying him in the forest.
Oh,
so when you know what you know about Ivan Milat, and you will come to know that's not a great beginning either. No. He was also, he also apparently shot a man who became paraplegic, after a taxi driver, and he didn't take the blame for it. He let someone else take the blame for it.
Are there, like, do people describe what he was like at that time? Like,
there's differing views. So, like, a lot of people say, there's some people that say, like, neighbours and things, you know, he seemed quite harmless.
Yeah.
They let him babysit their kids, like sisters-in-law and people like that. But then there's other people that say he was quite violent. And, you know, there's always differing views, I think. And when there's that many boys, they did look alike, and I think sometimes it's difficult to keep track. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's bad, but that does come into the case as well later on. So this is pretty awful, and I'm just going to give you a little warning, but this is where this case goes. Around this time as well, Ivan often bragged to his friends about how he could make a person a head on a stick for stabbing them in the spine and rendering them motionless.
Oh my God.
Making them, you know, unable to move by knowing exactly where to do that.
Oh my God.
So that's quite bad. This is what I mean. This is not a great...
just a sick individual.
Yeah. It is horrible, and it does get worse. So that's just to warn you where we're going with this. We're not going to go into huge detail, but that's just to warn you. He loved hunting, which makes me feel a bit ill, really. And
so what do you mean, like going out shooting, like what kind of thing?
Animals.
Any animals.
I think there's a thing with a dog and a cat that's not great. So, again, serial killer bingo.
Yeah.
Harming animals. He'd often spend time in the Belangalow Forest, which was just nearby, and there are hundreds of pictures, literally, of him holding one of his beloved guns. Every time a new story comes out about him, if you Google Ivan Milat, guaranteed at least 3 out of 5 pictures are going to be him holding a gun or holding a knife. He was really proud of it.
He shouldn't really have been allowed to have a gun if he'd been like burgling places and.
Yeah.
Well, but then I suppose there was no convictions from those, were there? They were just like.
I think there was one for the armed robbery.
Right. Okay.
But I think gun laws were very loose in Australia back then.
Right.
Okay. Until really what happened at Port Arthur.
Yeah.
The gun laws were a little looser.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. My dad had a gun.
Did he?
When we were little, he had a gun that was never loaded.
What kind of gun?
It was like a huge rifle.
No.
And he'd threaten boys. Not threaten them. This like makes boyfriends. My dad sound really bad. He would say, like, my sisters would go, my dad's got a gun, you know. And because I'm the youngest of 7 girls, so let's just put that in perspective. And this was in the 70s as well.
Yeah.
He never used it. He never got it out. It was never loaded.
Okay.
It was just something that we knew
he
had.
It?
Yeah. It's different times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that now?
No, that'd be terrifying.
I don't think he even had bullets for it.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it was just as a warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it, to think that now?
Yeah.
So in 1971, we're going to go back to Margaret Patterson, the girl that
the 18-year-old.
He attacked. Yeah. So Margaret Patterson was hitchhiking from Sydney to Canberra with her friend. They came across Ivan, who they thought looked clean and respectable. This is a thing where a lot of people think he looks... I mean, I don't know why with the white beater t-shirt.
And again, the mustache.
It was the 70s. People dressed differently.
Yeah.
Maybe the mustache was highly respected then. Merv Hughes had it. I don't know. Let's
so
just go
pick
with
him
it.
Up?
No, he offered them a lift.
Oh, I see. Right,
so he was 27, actually. I was close.
Okay.
So he stopped to buy petrol, and then a little further down the road, and this is a thing with him that he seems to do a lot, he stopped off on a dirt road and stopped the car saying he needed the toilet. So he got out of the car and went around and opened the boot of the car and then came back, grabbed Mary by the arms and said, okay, girls, I'm sorry, not Mary, Margaret, who's first? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how absolutely terrifying that would be?
Absolutely horrendous.
It just gets worse.
Oh,
fortunately, Mary said she punched him. Margaret, I keep saying Mary. Margaret said she punched him and her friend ran into the bush.
Hmm.
So they hid for several hours. Can you imagine terrifying that would be?
That would be absolutely
trying
horrific.
Not to make any noise, hiding in the bush or the forest until they were sure he was gone. And he apparently searched for them for a while.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine just sitting there?
That's terrifying.
Know if I could stay still enough. Could you? I think I'd just try and run.
If you're that terrified, you would just be, like, totally stuck. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Horrific.
So bad.
Eventually they left and they found a farmhouse and they were offered a ride to the police station by the couple in the farmhouse.
Okay.
They told them what had happened. But they just headed back to the highway. Can you imagine going back to the highway? I think they kept hitchhiking and they went on to Canberra. That would scare me off hitchhiking ever again for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
And I've hitchhiked. Like, it's not.
I can't believe anyone's hitchhiked.
I did it in the 90s. It was a different time.
I mean, that's mental.
Do you know, we only had.
Did you know, you knew though in the 90s that that had happened?
Oh, yeah, this Ivan Milat, did we know then?
I think
bodies being found maybe the year after.
All right, okay. So
actually.
You might not have,
Yeah.
Because
I could never do
I think
it was. So we only went, we hitchhiked to the beach.
I can't even pick up a hitchhiker.
Oh, like I would never do it now. Oh. If my little boy did it, I would die of anxiety on the spot if I found out that happened. So I went with a friend. We would hitchhike to the beach and there was only one guy that was a little bit iffy and he picked us up in like, when I think about it now, I'm like, that probably wasn't good.
No.
Lots of young surfer boys picked us up because we were young. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were skinny. They had surfboards on the top. We're like, we're getting in this jig. I don't care what happens. We are getting in. And it was only like a 25-minute ride in the car. That was it. It wasn't too
25
far.
Minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I just could not do that.
I mean, but so we only had one bad thing happen where this older guy picked us up, middle-aged. This is all bad when I think about it. He sort of had like a bus. So I got in the front and my friend got in the back. But it was sort of like a weird minibus van thing.
Yeah.
And he kept asking us questions, which comes up in this as well.
Okay.
He was asking us questions about where are you going and we never got really dropped off on the beach.
Okay.
Unless they were young guys.
A good idea.
If they were young guys that were like peep laters that we knew were 18 and they were good looking, drop us at the beach. We don't care. We want to know. We want you to know where we are. But we felt a bit unsure about this guy. So we said we were going to our friend's house.
Yeah. Okay.
And we sort of like got dropped off
your
a few streets.
Your friend with the gun.
Yeah, our friend with the gun, John. I think we made up a name for them and everything actually and said that we were – so it was only a few – of streets back from the beach.
Yeah.
So we kind of knew the area and we made out and we like made out all this stuff. Yeah, they're waiting for us because he was asking us quite a few questions. I mean, I think he was pretty harmless. He was a middle-aged guy that saw two young girls and thought, I'll just give him a ride.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My friend in the back, though, when we got out, she was like, I had a golf club in my hand.
Yeah,
ready
good
to,
on her. Absolutely.
Ready to hit him. He was a bit dodgy.
Yes,
so that was the only time it got dodgy and that didn't stop us. We still kept doing it.
Oh, my God.
But technically he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
He was just asking questions and he was maybe a bit weird.
Yeah.
But when you're 18, all middle-aged men are weird, aren't they? If they ask you questions about anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I have done it. I can't – if that happened to me, there's no way in hell
you would
I would ever do it again. Yeah.
That's
no way.
Crazy.
So, yeah, I can't believe that they did that, but that's what they did. They went on to Canberra. Eventually they reported the crime, and when they were shown pictures of Ivan and his brothers, they did confirm it, but it wasn't 100% sure that they positively ID'd Ivan. It could have been one of the brothers.
Right, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So
they all look quite similar then?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did look quite similar back then, I think. In 1977, a similar thing happened where he picked up two female hitchhikers. This one's a little bit worse. He threatened them with a knife and tied them to a tree. Can you imagine being tied to a tree in a forest with a knife to your throat? One of the girls was raped, but luckily they managed to get away in the end and didn't report the assault until many, many years later when they saw on the news what Ivan went on to do. Can you imagine if he had been picked up at the beginning?
Yeah, would have been all, like, in jail safely.
Mm-hmm. God. Although rape, how long would he have been in jail for?
Yeah. I don't know what it's like in Australia, because in the UK it's pretty lenient.
And then back then, I feel like it wasn't, don't know, it just wasn't punished as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So Ivan went on to get married. He married a woman named Karen. Such a Karen. Sorry, Karen. I have a sister called Karen who listens to the podcast quite a lot. And she's been to Belangolo Forest.
Yeah, I know.
She did send us pictures. She was going on a caravanning. This seems, it feels like the most Australian thing ever. She went on like a caravanning holiday up the coast. She went with family, like cousins and things, and they all wanted to stay there.
Creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, they all wanted to stay there, and she absolutely 100% refused, which, well done, Karen. I wouldn't have done either.
Absolutely.
She just felt like it was not good vibes, and she just felt like, not like it was disrespectful, but just that she knew, like all Australians know, it's etched in all Australians' minds what happened in that forest. You say the name of that forest, I've got goosebumps.
You do have goosebumps.
We know what happened. We feel partly responsible as Australians, and it's not a good place, and why anyone would want to go there.
Yeah.
No shade to people that have gone there. I get that it's a beautiful forest. It's open to the public. It's a beautiful walk, but it's not somewhere that I would personally want to go. So he married a woman named Karen, who at the time was carrying his cousin's baby. Oh my God. There's lots of this. There's so much of this in the family.
So where are they in Sydney?
Or
are they
living in Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She said during her time with him, he was very controlling and violent, and she was raped. She couldn't leave the house without his permission. She had to show receipts for groceries. Once she served him dinner he didn't like, and he smashed the food down and broke a coffee table.
Oh my God.
And when she eventually left him while he was away for work, Karen, he burnt down her parents' garage.
I mean, can you imagine being in that situation with a partner that's like so controlling and violent, like the courage to actually leave that person?
And that's when so many women get killed. That's the most dangerous part. Like, do they stay or do they leave, knowing they're probably going to, not probably, but it's a high chance of them being killed when they're in that situation.
Totally. Especially if you've got kids as well, because then you've got to, like,
you've got to think about them.
Seeing them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just run off.
Yeah. They were married for 4 whole years as well.
Like, because a lot of people, like, in these sort of violent relationships, they're like, why didn't they just leave them? But
It's not that simple.
So difficult. Yeah. So to have that courage.
Like, they threaten to kill their parents.
Yeah, well, he burned down a garage. That's horrific.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it? I'm proud of her for leaving. That shows incredible courage.
Absolutely.
But to stay in that situation, would she still be here if she hadn't have left?
No, probably not.
I don't think she would be.
No.
He also had an affair with his brother's wife. I mean, he's not a stand-up member of society, is he?
It's pretty awful.
Now, his brother Boris, good on you, Boris. I love Boris. Boris comes into this a lot.
Yeah.
And he comes into it further down the line.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He spoke about it all recently in an interview and said that although Ivan got his wife pregnant.
Oh, my God, was it a 60-second interview?
60 minutes, yes. Have you watched
it? Yes, I have watched it. And
amazing.
He was awesome.
Love him.
Yeah, yeah.
Ivan got his wife pregnant and Boris brought the child up as his own, which just says so much about Boris, doesn't it?
Well, also, like, so they're brothers. They're, like, the closest, like, DNA, you know?
Yeah.
They must have been brought up in the same, like, environment. And he's a total good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
he did get into trouble, like, I think, a little bit when he was younger, when they all got into trouble.
Yeah.
But Boris managed to straighten himself out.
So and live a normal life. It just shows you, doesn't it? It's kind of like...
It's not just the circumstances you're brought up in. You can change.
Exactly, yeah.
It's up to you. Oh, we're turning into an after-school special. Yeah, so we love Boris. Boris is amazing, and he will come back into it later. He did say that when he found out that Ivan got his wife pregnant, he did chase him with a gun and was going to kill him.
Fair enough.
But he couldn't bring himself to do it. And
how good would it have been if he did, though?
I mean, they asked him that in the 60 Minutes interview and said,
He did. Did he not say, yeah, totally?
Yeah, which must have been quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there seems to be loads of affairs within the family and the brothers. I mean, 10 brothers. But I want to say I kind of get it, but then if you've not got morals,
was he like you quite don't care. Looking or like charming or something? Because he did have like, was he a bit of a ladies' man?
No, I don't think he was. I don't think he is good looking, I suppose, in a 70s way, but not even in a 70s way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I think he had a bit of charm about him that people seem to like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to get people to come into your car all the time. You know, it's like with the Ted Bundy thing, isn't it? They have some sort of not charisma. I don't want to give him charisma, but they have some sort of thing where people trust them and they must have something about them. And I think with the Australian culture as well, there's this whole thing of like the Australian larrikin. They like called it a larrikin.
What does that mean?
So like a man that's sort of like a little bit funny, he's a bit of a dick. But do you know what I mean? People like find them funny and they're a bit silly and
like a lad kind of thing.
Yeah. It's pretty much the equivalent of that.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's maybe what it was.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So there seemed to be loads of affairs within the family. There was also an interview recently with a neighbor who was going out with Ivan's brother at the time, and Ivan had a fling with her over a few years.
God.
She was really uncomfortable in the interview and she just felt, you know, as you would, you'd had an affair
just horrified
with him and,
because they weren't known anything.
She just felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, he was cutting a lot of grass, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Have you heard that term?
No.
Oh, so cutting a lot of grass. It's another issue. I feel so like all gardener. The Australian terms are coming out. No.
I'm like literally.
Well, right. You say mowing their lawn. He's been mowing their lawn. It's when you're like
having loads of,
having affairs with other people's girlfriends.
Okay.
So you're like you're cutting their grass.
Yeah, right. Okay, like gardening. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was always guns around and the kids were encouraged to use them for hunting and target practice, which is horrible. Ivan got his first gun age 5.
Oh my God.
I mean, can you imagine that? Age 5. I can't remember what I bought my little boy when he was 5. I think it was Lego.
Not a gun.
Probably for his big birthday, a bit of Lego. That was pretty exciting.
I mean, a toy gun. Okay, but an actual gun.
An actual gun.
When he was 5.
Again, they lived on a big farm.
That's so
hunting was a big thing. Yeah, oh, it's horrible.
Oh, my God.
But that was part of their culture, I suppose, in their family. They were all big into hunting.
Yeah,
I mean, they went on to do armed robbery. Not shocking. They got so comfortable with guns.
Oh, my gosh. That's mental.
Now, in 1982, a 21-year-old British guy named Colin came to Australia to travel and do a bit of working to fund his trip. But because this is a particularly dark episode, we're going to take a little trip back to 1982.
Yeah. Right?
So before we start, top 5 songs in 1982 in Australia. I'm going to see how many of these you know. I was going to do movies, but I feel like that would be a waste of time. And I know you're big on music, so you are going to know some of these.
I was one at the time.
Okay. So that's fine. Stop flexing how young you are. Are you ready? I'm quite upset that Wham is not in any of these, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So number 1, Eye of the Tiger. You know song.
Yeah,
and I feel like Ivan Milat would have been all over that song.
He would
have
been listening to that for sure.
He would have been flexing in his short shorts and his wife beater and his gun.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
So 2, What About Me? Did you know that song?
No, What About Me? Does it go like that?
No. What's after that?
I'm making it up.
Oh. What did you say?
What is it?
It was a song by Moving Pictures and it went, What About Me? It isn't fair. I've had enough. Now I want my share. Anyway, that's the song. I don't know why I've sung that whole thing on the podcast. That was a huge song in Australia. I remember that song.
Okay.
Tainted Love was number three.
Great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. Well done, Australia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you'll know this song, but I loved it. Centerfold. My blood runs cold. My memory has just been sold. Angel is a centerfold. How do you not know? Why are we singing so much on this episode?
I don't know.
We're really going to regret this. That was a massive, massive song, and I feel like you would know it.
Is it an Australian band?
It's American, okay. I think. Key Largo by Bertie Higgins, who also had, coincidentally, an amazing Ivan Milat mustache.
Oh, wow.
Check him. It was a big thing. I didn't know the song, but when I looked it up, I was like, oh, my God, I haven't heard this since
1982.
And do you know what? Speaking of which, the other day, I was on a webinar and someone had on, and this has become a thing because this is the third time I've seen someone with one of these, a digital Casio watch.
I love them. I need to get one of those.
Argos, £30.
I'm going to get one of those. They're just so great, aren't they? Never mind your Fitbits and all that.
Loved it. Loved it. I actually asked her where she got it from. They're becoming a thing.
I know.
Sorry,
they
I'm
are.
Just pouring
they are.
Alcohol.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
They're becoming a thing.
Yeah,
I've seen them everywhere.
They're really fashionable.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? When she had it, it just instantly took me back to being a kid.
Was it like a gold one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With
I
the
want
weird
to get
wrist.
One.
Argos, £30.
Yes, I'm going to get one.
We should be sponsored by Argos because I've said it like nine
times.
Or
Casio.
Other places are
some.
Available.
Oh,
imagine
good.
If we got sponsored by Casio
that
and we had
good.
Like a 1980s episode, we could talk about what.
You could
anyway,
do singing and I could go.
I'm not singing
I don't know
anymore.
What that
I must apologize for that singing. We have had drinks. It's been a long day and I am sorry. Right. So we're going to go UK. Top
UK. Okay.
Five singles in the UK. Do
okay.
you think any of the songs will be the same?
Yeah. Tainted Love. Surely.
One of the songs is the same.
Eye of the Tiger?
Yes.
Okay.
Number three.
Right.
Guess what number one is? It is an amazing song. The video is amazing. The fashion is amazing. It's one of the best songs of all time. Am I getting overly excited because I've had a martini cocktail?
Is it definitely
yes.
Wham?
No. Wham are not in it, sadly.
Is it Whitney Houston?
Come On, Eileen.
Come
yes.
On. Yes. Why was it not in the Australian one?
I don't know. That was
Why?
The first thing I thought as well.
Maybe it was released earlier.
Maybe we got it later.
Maybe.
I think we got it later because we're a little bit behind from
right, okay.
the UK. Number two was Fame. Oh.
I wanna live forever.
I'm glad you're singing.
I know these ones.
I had the 78 record of it.
Oh.
Yes. Do you remember that? And you put
yeah.
the record on and the noise. This episode should be called Episode for Old People. But the noise that the record
yeah.
would make when it first came on. And
I
then,
know, that's great.
Oh, do you remember
oh,
that?
I
wish
do.
We could just go back to the 80s. I loved the TV show Fame. It was absolutely amazing.
Obviously, I didn't see the TV show.
I loved the TV show. The TV show was so big in Australia, I wanted to be Coco. Coco was like the dancer. Number four, the UK, you should almost be ashamed of yourself. The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
That's a great song.
Is it though? There's
jungle,
better songs.
Was that in the 1980s?
82.
No way.
And number
five. That
was
five, ahead of its time.
Right. I want you to guess this because this is amazing. This was a British
okay.
group.
Yeah.
Lots of the new romantic makeup-y sort
oh,
of
was
stuff.
It,
right. Huge song. And it was a group and it was. Well, there's no real women groups, were there? Oh, there's Banana Armour and stuff like that. But it was obviously men.
Is it this mess?
No.
Was it the people that do gold?
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
The people that do gold. No.
I don't even know what that song goes like now. Gold. Gold. They were like that, I guess like that. It's a band.
Yes.
Oh, was it The Cure?
No. It's
romantic.
More pop than cool.
Right, okay, all right, okay.
I don't know why I'm doing this. That was the start, and then it went, dun, dun. Do you really want to hurt me? How do you
what
not know
is,
what this
is? That not UB40?
No, it's Culture Club. I am UB40. Appalled.
Oh,
Culture
not-
Club were amazing.
With, is that the guy that's number got...
It's Boy George. Boy what do you George. Mean, is that yeah. the guy? Boy it's Boy George.
Boy George isn't no, new romance, is he?
Isn't he?
You know, like,
I suppose he's not it. Really, yeah. He had a pint. That doesn't mean he's not new romantic. I feel embarrassed for us listening back to this episode. We have sung so much. We will never drink again while we're doing an episode. We're really sorry. Yeah. So but how amazing is that them. Top five, yeah, though?
That's pretty good.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
So.
Was that for the whole of 1982?
Yeah, they were the most popular songs of 1982.
So those Australian ones. What on earth? I don't even recognise half of them.
Yeah, Tainted Love, bizarre. You know. Yeah. Centrefold, you'll know. I'm going to play it to you in the break.
Okay.
So we're going to go a little bit further and then we're going to split this into two episodes. So we're going to talk about Colin. Do you remember Colin before we had so this little Colin interlude?
Was from England and he went over.
Yes. Yeah. And he came over so in 1982.
Like a sort of young guy that worked.
Yeah, it was a 21-year-old backpacking, okay. doing the thing, all Australian, all people from other countries coming yeah. over to do backpacking. That's a big thing. So he arrived in Sydney and he spent some time in the Blue Mountains before heading towards the famous Hume Highway. The Blue Mountains really has a thing for me because as much as I don't want to go off into another story, I'm just going to quickly tell you about I had an imaginary friend when I was little. Have I told what? You about this? How have I not told you this?
How have you not told me
right,
about
so
this?
I had two. I had the first one. I think I was traumatised. I think it came out of being traumatised yeah. because – my mum used to read me the story of the little match girl all the time, which yeah, is horrific, and yeah, she dies yeah. at the end. Everyone yeah. knows that story. I made up an imaginary friend called Matchiff, and she was made oh. out of matches, right? So she was the first imaginary friend I had. I don't know what happened with her. She just went away after a few years. And then there was Pen Friend, and she was made out of pens.
See, when you've got an imaginary friend, can you actually, like, see them?
I don't remember because I was quite little. But I did used to get extra food for Matchiff. And Matchiff was really well known in our family. So she had a spare seat at the dinner table oh and all God. These things, right?
Oh.
There is a purpose for this with the Blue Mountains. So we went on holiday when I was little. When you're Australian and you're little, you only go on holiday in Australia
yeah.
because it's so fucking big.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 25 hours to drive to Sydney. That's job done, yeah. right? I think it's more
oh
than
my
that.
Oh, God, that is anyway, mental, isn't it?
I don't know if it's that long, but it's quite yeah, far. So you never go way. That far, yeah. right? And we went to the Blue Mountains. We're driving around the Blue Mountains. We must have been going to Sydney on holiday somewhere.
Yeah.
And my sister, who's actually the one sister, well, I don't speak to two sisters, but that's for another day. The one I don't speak to now, she tormented me a lot when I was quite little.
Oh, no.
And she, as we were going around the mountains, you can imagine like it's a, you can't really stop.
Windy, yeah. yeah.
She opened the door, slammed the door shut and said, Mum, I've just pushed Matchiff out of the car. Yes, that's the correct response.
Oh, my God, poor Matchiff.
Yes, exactly. And I was in tears, oh. so we had to go back.
Was she okay?
And get her. And I said to my mum, we're going to have to take her to hospital because she's going to die.
Did you find her?
And my mum just gave her a kiss and said, no, she's fine. Look, I fixed her.
Oh, incidentally, thank God you found her. Oh
that same
God.
Holiday, I had a doll. We are going to get back into the horror in a second, but once we get into it, you'll be pleased. I've been telling you about Matchiff and Culture Club. I had a doll that laughed. You know, you have like a baby doll.
Yeah.
In the middle. I was really yeah. into dolls. I had loads of dolls, right? We weren't rich. They were shit dolls. Just going to put it out there. And it laughed and then you put the dummy in. No, it okay. cried yeah. and then you put the
okay.
dummy in.
Okay.
It broke. My dad fixed it and it started doing a laugh like a possessed doll
what?
Until you put the dummy in. How horrific is that? That was the same holiday that Matchiff got pushed out of the car.
That's... I don't have any words for that.
I feel
that's
like we've
horrific.
Swapped positions because usually it's your weird story this and is... now I'm telling you about imaginary friends and creepy dolls.
Oh.
Yeah, that's weird.
The laughing. Did it sound like an actual laugh?
Yeah, but it was like a hysterical laugh.
Oh, my God.
Your face.
Did you just throw the baby away?
No, I loved it. It was a great doll. You just kept the dummy in. No one really found it creepy. They just thought it was weird that my dad fixed it and then it
and
laughed.
It started laughing. Oh, yeah. my God. Yes, that's really creepy.
That's freaked you out. I don't think yeah. I'd like it now, but back then.
So what happened to Matchiff?
I don't know. She just went away one day.
Okay.
She lived under the house. And then okay. Penfriend turned up.
Okay. All right. So it got.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Penfriend. Oh. Anyway, so he didn't have a Penfriend or a Matchiff. and he spent some time in the Blue Mountains before heading towards the famous Hume Highway. Hume Highway, we're going to talk a lot about this. It's a highway that runs from Melbourne to Sydney, and it's a huge highway, and it's the only way to really get to Melbourne and Sydney along the coast, to hitch a ride. So he was picked up by a ute. You know what a ute is, don't you?
Yeah, I do know what a ute is, yeah.
With a man who didn't say hello, he just said, put your seatbelt on.
Oh, no.
So he seemed a bit abrupt, but they drove for a bit, and then he asked Colin how long he had been here and who knew he was here. Oh, my God.
Weird.
Can you imagine if someone said, does anyone know you're here? I mean, unless you're really suspicious.
They definitely do. Everyone knows.
You probably wouldn't think that much of it, I guess, but it is a kind of weird thing to ask. So when Colin told him he didn't know anyone here, he said that Ivan went into a bit of a trance. Now, I do wonder if this has been added because the interview was given many, many years after the event.
Can't
so
really
do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like, not say anything against Colin, maybe that is what happened, but I feel like in view of hindsight, I wonder if he sort of, not embellished, but sort of like.
But he could have been thinking it over. And just,
So Colin said that Ivan didn't really speak much or smile, and they drove for a bit longer until Ivan suddenly decided to turn off the road again, his calling thing, with no warning, and said, I'm just turning off here. Colin responded with, well, I'm just going to Cobar. I don't know where Cobar is. Is it near Cobar Cabana?
The Cobar Cabana. Oh, my God, this is what you get when there's like.
This is a singing episode.
Cocktails and pubs.
I don't know where Cobar is, but I'm assuming it's not that far.
But it's like a little
down
town.
The road. Yeah, I think it's a little town. So you can just let me out here. But Ivan wasn't listening. He quickly stopped the car, got out, and with seconds, he was around Colin's side of the car. Can you imagine that in a movie? That's like in a movie when they're sitting and then they look to the window and it goes, he had his hand behind his back and he was holding a hammer. Now, how terrifying do you think a hammer is as a weapon? I think that's
utterly
horrifying.
Horrific. Yeah.
I think
terrible.
That's almost like a knife is bad.
A knife's horrendous.
But a hammer feels like so much violence because you've just really got to smash him. Do you know what I mean? I feel like a hammer just feels.
Although you might be like, with a hammer, you might be like, oh, well, maybe he's just going to be fixing the wing mirror. You know, with a knife, hammer. It's like obvious that they're going to.
I mean, maybe he's going to go, hammer time.
we're
going to stop singing. We're going to stop singing. I'm sorry. It is going to get much darker in part two, so there'll be no singing. Don't worry. So because the road Ivan had pulled into on the side, it was quite busy. And he sort of kept looking behind him, like to check people around, and he seemed a bit unsure. So Colin used that to his advantage, grabbed his backpack and jumped out of the car.
Okay.
As he walked off, Ivan yelled
out.
So was
it like in the middle of the nowhere of it?
It was sort of near a mainish road.
Right, okay.
So it wasn't too bad. Okay. As he walked off, Ivan yelled out, hey, mate. He said as he turned, Ivan was sitting on the ute and said something like, have a safe trip and look after yourself.
Oh, I don't like that. That's giving me the shivers.
Yeah, me too. 7 years after this incident, backpackers started going missing and turning up dead in the Belengalo forest. It was only after Colin saw a documentary years later, he recognised the man with the moustache who had picked him up. And I think that is where we are going to leave this episode.
Yeah, well done, though.
Part one.
Great.
We've been going for an hour. I'm sorry about that. There was lots of singing. I'm also sorry about that. And we will get episode two out super quick because I don't want to leave too much of a gap in between the two episodes. So thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Please give us a review. We would absolutely love it. Go and check out our sponsors, Foxbox Detectives, and we will see you shortly for part two.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.